Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture. With your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
Welcome to Arts Connection. It's been 25 years since Steve Bell recorded and released Comfort My People, his first album. To celebrate the occasion, Steve has released a box set with four CDs and a mini biography. And the documentary Burning Ember, The Steve Bell Journey, chronicles the life of one of Canada's enduring Christian troubadours. Bell has been crisscrossing the country, holding concerts in support of Pilgrimage, the 25th anniversary project, and he was in Ontario when we recorded tonight's interview. Before we get a chance to talk to Steve about his 2.5-decade journey, let's listen to one of his newest songs. Here's Turn It Around from Steve Bell's The Pilgrimage CD of the new Pilgrimage box set.
We've been heading down this road for a season, looking ever for a shining horizon. Have we forgotten about a reason for leaving? Better turn it around. I was navigating maps and the weather. Thought we were heading for the house of your father. But I think we've gotten lost altogether. Better turn it around. Started from. Find that holy ground, back where we began in Bethlehem. Bethlehem. I couldn't bear it if you left me behind you. I just want to see the signals that guide you. Let's go back, we can begin where I found you. Better turn it around. Turn this boat around. Take us back to where we started from.
And now to our conversation with Steve Bell. Good evening, Steve.
Hey, how are you doing, Robert?
Not bad. Now, let's look at this. When you went in the studio and started recording the songs for Comfort My People, did you ever think 25 years later you'd be celebrating that decade, that 2.5 decades of music?
Oh, no. Like, when Comfort My People actually was sort of almost commissioned by a friend of mine for his ministry, and I never even thought there'd be a second album, never mind 18 or a career. I didn't have any vision of performing as I do now. I had just come out of 10 years of playing bars and was felt pretty beaten up about the whole thing and soured about that, and I didn't really see myself as a minister at all. So it just, how my career, how it's unfolded, has been as much of a surprise to me as anybody.
Well, you alluded to the fact that it was commissioned for you. That whole story with Father Bob McDougall and everything is a fascinating. When you talk about it in the Burning Embers documentary, you talk about it in your in the little mini biography that's included in the Pilgrimage set. Give our listeners a little bit of an idea of that story for some of them that have never heard it.
Well, Father Bob, some of them around this area would remember in Hutton Street years ago, he used to be a co-host with David Mains on a television show. He's this sort of jolly, you know, Jesuit priest and wonderful guy. He was a Catholic prison chaplain at Stony Mountain when my father was a Protestant chaplain. And so I got to know Father McDougall. I call him Doogie, and we were like buds through my teenage years, and he was just this great, cool guy. And then after I spent 10 years of my early adulthood playing the bars, and when I came out of that and sort of felt done he showed up at my door, and he had a little television show, I think it was called Food for Life, that they produced out of Huntley Street. And he said, I need music to give to people that respond to my show. Would you do this album? And so I said, sure, I guess, but I didn't really know what to put on it. And he says, well, just go choose some songs from, you know, from your church history or whatever. And so I started off really doing it just as kind of a favor for him. He paid the whole bill. But as I started to record it, this music started pouring out of me, and I ended up replacing the songs I had chosen with ones I had written. And what came out was a very personal album, but it didn't even start that way. It just kind of how it unfolded. It was quite miraculous, actually.
Well, looking at that and looking at how things have unfolded over the last 2.5 decades, what sort of the key challenges that you've faced as you've, you know, tried to develop this ministry and this career out of music in Canada?
Well, a lot of it's just the sustainability. How do you pay the bills, you know? And when you're recording music, you know, there's always the question, here's the record I want to make, but if I made that one, it would sell more. You know, and so there's all that, you're always battling between art and widgets. Like, am I going to make a widget that's going to sell, or am I going to create something that may have a smaller audience, but that's authentic and has a ring of truth to it? So it's always sort of the battle, I think, is figuring out how to make it work and how to make it pay, and not so you can have a lot of money and toys, but just so that you can sustain the art.
Mm-hmm. Well, looking at that, I mean, there obviously have been some highlights along the road as well. What have been some of the high points that you've found?
Well, you know, I mean, every time you put out a record, it's a triumph. It's to me, I'm always ecstatic when it's sort of finally done, and so those are all key things. There have been certain concerts that have been really magnificent. The first time I did a symphony concert, I'll never forget that as long as I live. It'll be a deathbed memory, you know, when you're kind of lying back, you know, thinking about your life. There's something just very, very wonderful about that. And then the rest is just the miles and miles and concerts after concerts after concerts. The people you meet, the friendships that are developed. I have really profound friends, you know, right across the country, because I've just been traveling it for so long, and I just feel very rich because of it. That's something I wouldn't have anticipated when I started out, that I was going to have this wide sort of friendship ring of people who I adore and who love me and care for me. So that's been really great too.
Well, and that whole aspect of the people that care for you and that you've influenced, that comes through in Pilgrimage. I mean, you've got the one CD called
Good Company.
Good Company. Thank you.
That was a surprise. I didn't know about it. It was Roy Salmon and Bob Bennett had been in the last couple of years. They knew my 25th anniversary was coming up, so they've been sort of behind my back, getting, you know, my musician colleagues, like, you know, the Jacob Moons and Mike Jansons and Glenn Soderholmes and John Bullers and Karen Ahrens, and to record sort of their favorite Steve Bell song. And then they were going to just give it to me as just a personal present, a disc. There was no thought of it being a part of a commercial product. And then when I heard about it and I knew I was putting out Pilgrimage and I wanted it to be a multi-disc set, you know, I'm the one that said, we got to put this on the record or in the package. And so it became part of the deal.
And that whole package is—it's so neat because you've got a brand one CD is just brand new songs, you know, brand new stuff. You've got the unadorned CD, which is, I guess, you know, for lack of a better word, an unplugged version of Steve Bell, the Good Friends, and then just the instrumental stuff that Roy Salmon had or Dave Zielinski had really liked and had been collecting over the years as well. Where did the idea come to put all of those stuff, all that stuff together into one package?
Well, it started last year when I sort of felt like I was wanting to do another record, another album. And at that point, it wasn't Pilgrimage. It was going to just be the next album, whatever that was going to be. And then Dave and I said, you know, the 25th is coming up. Should we do something? You know, and we kind of talked back and forth, thought, well, maybe not, and maybe just let it go. But the idea wouldn't go away that maybe we should be, you know, it's a bit of a landmark, so why don't we do something? And so we, as the songs started to come together, and I realized that a lot of the songs were had this sort of this pilgrimage feel to them, and that was clearly becoming sort of the theme of the album. And then, of course, then you start to think, well, 25 years, his whole life has been a pilgrimage. And so then, as soon as we kind of got that title and that idea, then we sort of thought, let's start thinking about how we could create a package that reflects the pilgrimage. And then we started saying, well, then we've got to do some retrospective stuff. And we said, let's do the unplugged thing. And then the Good Company idea came up. And then Dave, and then we asked John Stackhouse to write that essay, that book. And he did a wonderful job of that. And so it just kind of came together slowly. And I think it was just this last January we realized, oh, my goodness, this is a massive project. And we sort of went at it hard and were able to sort of pull it off in time.
Well, I need to take a quick break here. And when we come back, we're actually going to talk about something else that's come up, and that's been the Burning Embers documentary. Mm-hmm. So we are going to take a quick break continue our conversation with Steve Bell. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM.
Do you know? Have you not heard? Has it been told you from the first? You not understood from the forming of the earth. He sits enthroned above the world and spreads the heavens like a tent, a place for us to live in. Place for all to live. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? Do you know? Who has marked off the heavens with the breath of his word? Do you know? Doesn't know your ways. Lift your eyes and look to see who created all of these. Nevermore complain. Daddy doesn't know your. Has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand. Do you know? Do you know?
Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to John Buller's cover version of Comfort My People from the Good Company CD of the Pilgrimage Collection by Steve Bell. I'm your host, Robert White. We're going to continue our conversation with Steve. Let's look at Burning Embers. Where did the whole idea of the documentary come from?
Well, I got a call last year around this time from a friend who was having coffee with film director Andrew Wall. And Andrew Wall had but he became intrigued with my career. And there's this guy that's been doing this for 25 years and managed to stay afloat. And so he thought there might be a story there for a documentary. So my friend said, Andrew wants to meet with you. Would you talk to him? And I just kind of said, no, I wasn't that interested. I think I didn't really quite understand what he wanted to do, and so I said no, and then he phoned me back, I think, about 2 weeks later, and I got an email from Andrew, and I just kind of saying, no, I just don't think I want to spend time doing this right now. And then I finally got a call from Mitch. He used to play for the Crash Test Dummies, a drummer friend of mine. He said, Steve, this guy's great. He wants to do your story. Why are you saying no? This is going to be good for you. So I finally said yes to at least meet with him, and so Andrew and I met for coffee for 4 hours, and he sort of laid out that he thought there was a story that needed to be told and that he and his company would raise all the funds and they'd take care of it. And all I had to do was give him permission to follow me around for a year. And that's what they did. They you know, two and three cameras followed me around for about 8 months, from East Coast to West Coast in Canada, from California to Texas in the States. And then they started digging into my past and pulling up all kinds of film footage I didn't even know existed. And they cobbled this documentary together, and they did a really magnificent job. It's kind of a neat thing.
Well, you've always been pretty open about the things that are going on in your life when you're on stage and sharing in that. But how did it feel when you first saw this, and now there's sort of a permanence to some of the stories that you've told over the years?
Yeah, and I think like I was worried about that, and I'm not quite sure why. It's one thing to tell your story off of a stage, and then it goes out into the ether. But it's another thing to sort of document it in this permanent form. And the other thing is, it was their doc; it wasn't mine. Like I didn't have the right to direct or push it in any way, shape, or form. It was their money and their idea. And of course, when someone tells a story of a lifetime, you can tell from a million different viewpoints. So I just didn't really know what tack they were going to take. The only sort of they did promise me that if anything was misrepresentative, that I could say so and they'd change it. So as long as everything was representative, I didn't really have a say in it. And then I sat there for the first time when I watched it, and here's 25 years of your life compacted into an hour and a half. And it was profoundly moving to me, you know. When I sort of saw the progression and all the things that happened that God sort of put in my steps and the people, like, you know, meeting Mike Jansen was a life-changing event for me. My career would have been a very different thing had I not met that guy. You know, and all these things, you sort of go, oh my goodness, this has been directed. It's been very, very deliberate. Even though I've not been all that deliberate, the journey has been directed quite deliberate, in a deliberate way. And it was profoundly moving for me. And I just this sense of overwhelming gratitude for having to be able to do something meaningful for 25 years. I'm just very, very blessed.
Well, looking at that, looking at the pilgrimage collection, looking at the essay that John Stackhouse did, and Burning Embers, as you're going through that journey, what's been the biggest changes that you've seen both in the way Christian music has developed in Canada, and just the way the whole aspect of the church towards the artistic community has changed in those 25 years?
Well, for one, when I first started out, there was really nobody doing this. There was Carolyn Ahrens, there was, there kind of wasn't, there's only a few of us that were even trying to make a living at music in the Christian world. It was a different time, though. I mean, there was tons of record stores or Christian bookstores that would sell you records, and like retail actually was, you know, meaningful financially, all those things. So it was a neat time. And there's a few of us that kind of blazed the trail, and then shortly after, like in the, you know, by the end of the 90s, there's quite a few acts out there. Now there's tons. And there's lots of people that have made, you know, good names for themselves and have worked really, really hard and are worthy of their careers. But back in the day, there's only just a handful of us doing it. The industry has changed profoundly. I mean, retail has collapsed. There's not even a Christian bookstore in Winnipeg anymore. The last one closed its doors about a month ago. So those kinds of supports are gone. The record industry has collapsed, and so those supports are gone. So now it's sort of those of us who can sort of think small cottage industry and do that work. We sort of get to keep doing this. And just the fact that Dave and I have always had that, my manager and I have always had that sort of paradigm for our ministry, meant that when everything else collapsed around us, we were still able to continue because that's kind of how we've always done things anyway.
Well, and I think you really allude to it in a couple of places about the fact that you've been able to surround yourself with people that whose skills balance yours out. So you have Dave Zielinski, who does your managing and takes care of the business end of things, so you can focus on the music and the ministry. What about the artists that don't have those supports? What about people that are still in that position where they're doing everything? You know,
I watched Jacob Moon and I get exhausted because I know he's doing the work of three people. I know I've talked to so many people over the years. And Dave Zaglinski, like, he's more than just a manager or bookkeeper. He's also my producer. He's a brilliant recording engineer. He's my road manager. You know, he does the merch. And I got like five guys and one fellow there. And I've talked to so many artists when I say, how's it going? And inevitably the response is, I haven't found my Dave yet. And there actually are quite a few great Canadian, you know, Christian artists, but there aren't really are a ton of people that can do the work, the behind-the-scenes work, with real passion, real energy, and intelligence. And boy, if we could get another 10 or 20 days, there'd be a lot more, you know, careers of great musicians out there.
Well, looking at where things have gone with you and how all of this has changed, what has kept you going? What has kept you, you know, in that fray of continuing to, you know, travel from one end of the country to the other, you know, sitting in recording studios, you know, doing all these things? What's kept you in that groove?
Well, one of it is my wife. I mean, my wife almost believes in this more than I do. She it's kind of interesting because she takes the brunt of it. I mean, she's the one that has to be alone a lot. And she's had to deal with a lot of loneliness and issues. But she's never resented this work. She's always believed that I'm to do this and that she has been sort of called to free me up to do it. And so there's a lot of energy that comes from her. But a lot of it is just, I'm compelled. I can't, it's almost like I can't not do it. I don't know how to describe it. It's not like I have to do anything to keep my energy up. It feels like I was put on the planet to do this work, and the energy is there and the drive is there. And when I get off the road for, you know, 2 months in the summer, which I often do, I'm usually pretty antsy. It just, something feels like I'm supposed to be playing. And I know I need to rest, and I know I need to, you know, have focus time at home, all that kind of stuff. But it's just, there's an inner compulsion that I believe is the Spirit of God. I was created to do this, and I function best when I do it.
And on that, I think we're going to take one final break and then come back and finish our conversation with Steve Bell. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM.
As we hope in the Lord, we will gain strength. We will run for miles. We will stand up straight. We will not grow weary. We will not grow faint. On the wings of an eagle, we will rise. As we hope in the Lord, we will gain our strength. We will run for miles. We will stand up straight. We will not grow weary, we will not grow faint. On the wings of an eagle we will rise. On the wings of an eagle we will rise. On the wings of an eagle we will rise. For our hope is found in the power of God. On the wings of an eagle we will rise. On the wings of an eagle we will rise. Na 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 na. God calls his people home, not to be afraid. As we journey the road, hand in hand, we'll be walking with the Lord our God. On the wings of an eagle we will rise. And as we hope in the Lord, we will gain our strength. We will run 4 miles, we will stand up straight, we will not grow weary.
Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to Wings of an Eagle from the Unadorned CD from the Pilgrimage set by Steve Bell. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to wrap up our conversation with Steve. What's been the reaction to Pilgrimage so far?
You know, it's been really great. I mean, it's a 4-disc set, which means it's more expensive, and we just didn't know if people were going to be all that interested. And we've only had it for the last few tours, the last like two weeks, and the response has been overwhelming. We've sold out before our tours both times, and so we're very, very pleased. People are liking the new music. People are intrigued by the Good Company CD. People are intrigued by the book, and so I think we've done something good, and I think the music is going to matter, and I'm just very, very pleased with the response so far.
Well, are you finding people are choosing one CD out of the set that they really like, or are they sort of just liking the whole thing altogether?
Well, it's funny. Like, people are, yeah, what happens is whichever one they decide to put on first, you know, they end up sort of listening to and not getting to the other ones for a while, right? So it's, yeah, people are, I'm getting almost right across the board, oh, I love the Landscapes one, haven't heard the rest yet, or, oh, I love the Good Company, haven't listened to the other ones yet. And so it's kind of, and it's been almost evenly spread across all 4 discs. So I think it's going to really take probably till after the new year before people really kind of get through the material and get to know it. So I think it's just a different kind of project that way.
So what you're touring and supporting Pilgrimage and that, any thoughts as to what's happening next, or just taking it as it comes?
Mostly taking it as it comes. I think Dave, my manager, and I are starting to think about, I've been doing a lot of writing. I've been producing these e-books on the Christian calendar year, the spirituality of the liturgical year. And starting to think about working towards building some conferences around where I do teaching and performing on those kinds of things. So we might kind of, we're sort of making that decision right now, is next fall the time to start doing that and stepping out more in a teaching role along with the music, but more deliberately about the things that I've thought, you know, carefully about. So I think that's going to be next. We'll wait and see how that shapes up. We're just kind of having those conversations now.
Yeah. Well, where can people find out more about your music and your book?
What's that, sorry?
Where can people find out more about your music and yourself?
Oh, stevebell.com. Everything's there.
Great. Well, Steve, thanks very much for your time tonight.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Arts Connection today, and thank you to my guest, Steve Bell. If you miss a broadcast or want to hear it again, look for archive programs on our website at www.selawministries.ca. That's www.selawministries.ca. And be sure to tune in next week for another look where faith, arts, and Canadian culture meet. For more information on Arts Connection, a production of Selaw Ministries, email Robert at selawministries.ca or follow us on Twitter at Selaw13. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good day and God bless.